of getting saved. Somebody said, but Brother Mitchell, I thought it meant they were saved. In a sense, watch here. Those who are being saved, and that's what the passage is saying, is those who have started on the journey of salvation. Watch here, watch here. But their salvation is not completed. It's ongoing. Your salvation is ongoing. My salvation is ongoing. Wait. Brother Mitchell, I've always thought that once I get baptized, I'm saved. Yes, but watch here, watch here. In a sense, Jesus Christ needs more time with you to fix you up, to get you ready for eternity with Him. Wait. Jesus Christ will be, let's say you became a Christian today, for the next 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 70 years, 100 years, Jesus Christ will be working on you in the church. Wait, I need to drop this here. Did I say in the church? Yes! And nowhere else. He'll be working on you in the church to day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, get rid of the devilishness, the hate, the ungodliness, the immorality, the lack of spirituality. All of this, Jesus Christ will be working on you and me in the church to day by day purge this out, these devilish quality, and getting us ready for heaven. That's when the Bible talks about, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. That is, men and women who responded to Jesus' invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is, you have accepted Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ's work is not finished. Listen to the passage of Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 through verse 12. Listen, let us hear it. Philippians. Mm-hmm.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth.
Don't move from the passage, but just hold it. Jesus Christ will be acknowledged as Lord. I need to repeat that. Every man, every woman, those who claim there is no God, those who claim that this business of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is fiction, it's not true, they will one day acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. That's what the passage is teaching. Men and women in every walk of life, from wherever, will acknowledge Jesus Christ one day. Continue reading.
And that every tongue
every tongue
should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
And that means, you know, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, without exception, every person will one day acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. Read on.
To the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved.
Wherefore, by my beloved.
As ye have always obeyed.
As you have always obeyed.
Not as in my presence only.
Not just when I was with you personally.
But now much more in my absence.
Even while I am absent from you. You'll notice the brother is reading from the book of Philippians. Many of us, you learn that the church at Philippi, if there is a congregation of the church of Christ that could be considered the ideal congregation of the church of Christ, the church at Philippi was it. It was sort of the perfect congregation. And here even the very praise that Paul is giving here is a testimony. So pick up there, brother.
Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. But now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
What they should do?
Work out your own salvation.
Brothers and sisters, so you thought that once you believe, repent and get baptized, everything finished there. No, you just get started. And what the apostle instructed the Philippians here. In fact, it is more correctly translated, work at. Work at your own salvation. Wait. When you and I do the thinking and engage in the activities, the conduct, the thoughts, the word, the worship, the working in the church, when you and I engage in those God-stipulated activity, we are working at our own salvation. Wait. You're asking at what point you take vacation from that? You don't take vacation. Once we get started on the Christian pathway, we continue until death or judgment. So work at your own salvation. And watch here. It is such a journey that it encompasses fear and trembling. It is such a journey that we don't want to get easy on easy street. We have to work at it with fear and trembling. What we are discussing today, life in the church. The passage that was read today by Chad, the passage taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 following, you might have sat here while the brother read the passage. I don't know how much you were observing what the inspired writer said. But what the inspired writer was doing was to show that the journey, are we all there? The journey the Israelites took from Egypt to the promised land, it was typical. That means that was only a shadow of the journey that the Christian takes or is taking. Listen, Paul again in that passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 1 following. Listen.
Moreover. Brethren. I would not that ye should be ignorant.
That means I don't want you to be ignorant. Put another way, I want you to understand God's truth. I want you to have a better understanding of what God was doing when he led the Israelites through the wilderness. Wait. Corinthians, I want you to see that journey for Israel was typical. It was pointing to the Christian journey that you and I are now taking. Wait. Corinthians, the journey of the Israelite in the wilderness is the journey of the Christian in the church. Wait. Some of the experience and activities that the Israelite engage in the wilderness, those activities were typical. They were like shadow pointing to our journey. Our journey is the real thing. Read, brother. I don't want you to be ignorant.
How that all our fathers
all our fathers were
under the cloud.
You notice where he's gone? Right back to Israel. All our fathers, that's referring to the Israelite fathers. They were under the cloud.
And all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses.
You notice? Those of us who are here, who are Christian, who heard the gospel, repented, and got baptized. The type was first carried out in the wilderness. They were under the cloud, that means the cloud covered them, and they passed through the sea, and he said, if I heard right, they were all baptized
unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Wait, watch here. Are you here and you have been taught that sprinkling is a baptism? It's not. Because the baptism of the Israelite in the cloud and in the sea was a covering, it was a burial. And what the apostle is showing, the Almighty God was only taking the Israelite through the symbolic form of the reality that you and I would live. Read on, brother.
And did all eat the same spiritual meat?
Are we all there? What the brother is writing about to the Corinthians, isn't that what we as Christians did in the church? To get in the church, we have to be baptized. Well, he has just said it. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Brother Mitchell explained that further. Thank you for asking me. The cloud barred them in from Now, the sea water, and the cloud covered them. So even from that time, the Almighty God showed that true baptism is a burial. is a covering even from them. That's some 1,400 years before Christ. So when any church or angel or man come telling you that baptism is sprinkling, you know. Sometimes when a person learns truth, it becomes indelible on their mind. And speaking to Melissa Elaine Mattison's daughter a few days ago, we met personally. And unfortunately, fortunately, it was a joy to those of us who knew Elaine and know Melissa when, because of her residence, she lived close to Linstead, she recommitted her life to Christ in the Church of Christ there. Her children, one or two of them, are also Christian. But what I find encouragingly surprising was when she made the statement that there are one or two points she doesn't agree with. And she said that, Brother Mitchell, I have been taught from I was young that women are to cover their head in worship. And where I go, most of them don't. But she said, I went and studied the Bible for myself on the subject. And she said, nobody can tell me not to cover in worship because the Bible teaches it plainly. I said, my God, what a wonderful thing that sometime a person comes to church and sometime because they are a little teenager, you don't think that they are paying attention, but they are learning. They are learning. Remember where I'm coming from? About baptism. That 1,400 years before Christ, when the Almighty God led the children of Israel out of Egypt and baptize them. That was the type. That was the shadow. What we practice in getting into Christ is the real thing. What I'm saying, when any man or woman, when any angel come and tell you that baptism can be sprinkling, tell them that God's revelation said that they're wrong. God's baptism for men and women today can never be sprinkling. Among the reasons, baptism relive Christ's death, burial and resurrection. That's right. When we baptize, we are reliving that. These are the redeeming act of Jesus Christ. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? To redeem us, to become our Savior, our Lord, to bring about our forgiveness. Jesus Christ had to die, buried, and resurrected. Every man, every woman becoming a child of God must go through this in a spiritual or a symbolic way. Must. Baptism is not just going into the water. It is forming a solidarity with Jesus Christ. Use another word. It is becoming one with Christ. It is uniting with Christ in Christ. Redeeming acts, death, burial, and resurrection. So when anybody comes and tell you that baptism is sprinkling or it is pouring, they are misleading you. You were in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul is showing that the journey of the Israelite was typical. It was pointing to something more important. And that more important thing is what is practiced in the church of Christ. Read on.
And all did drink the same spiritual drink.
A chap, that is referring to the communion. Didn't he mention first that they all eat the same spiritual bread? Huh? That's the communion. Huh? The Israelite would never have thought that the manna that God rained from heaven to feed them, they would never imagine that that had a greater significance, a greater meaning. And that is what you and I are practicing now. Read on.
For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
Remember the lesson. Life in the church. And may I let you into a little secret? Okay, since it's my secret, I'm not going to let you into it. But I really want to let you into it. Sorry. It's not that I'm confused. Last night, I was at the Walker's home. Sister Walker celebrated her 90th birthday. God bless her to live to see she was 90 years old. And quite many weeks ago, Nisaline had told me about it. And there are quite a few of us there. Now, Saturday evening is a special evening for me because even if I'm working on a lesson, a sermon for weeks and weeks, it's usually that Saturday evening that I either go over my outline or finish my outline. So most Saturday evening, I'm down here knowing that I wouldn't be able to be here yesterday evening. I carry some notes, commentary, books, and all of that with me from Friday. and did some work and my lesson at home, then did some work and my lesson for today at home yesterday evening before I went to the workers' home. And when I came from their home, we reached home about 9, I still did some work on my lesson. But when I got up this morning, something said, well, for one thing, the lesson I was working on, I didn't finish all the things that I want to have in my outline on that lesson, so I select 2 other lessons. And then when I got up, something said, why don't you deal with another lesson? And even when I came down here to worship this morning and went in the office, I was still making some note on this new lesson, the one I'm now preaching. That's my secret. Because for some time I feel that I need to remind the congregation in respect to what the church is about and what being a member of the church involve. For months and months I've been telling myself I need to have one or two or three lessons over a period about reminding the members that we must not take our church membership, our life in the church, for granted, because it is important to the Almighty God. Thus, where and when and how God is getting us ready, preparing us, fixing us up for eternity. Chapter 10 of the book of 1 Corinthians.
But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness.
Wait. We are in our wilderness. Are we all there? We are now being, in fact, let us, for with many of them, God was not well pleased. That's saying a lot. It's like the lesson that I've been working on for a good while, and that was supposed to be the lesson today. And that is, it's a very important passage in the Bible that tells, in fact, the whole point about that passage is knowing God. And that amounts to eternal life. You should be hearing that lesson within the next week. A great, great and challenging and important lesson. What does it mean to know God? With many of them, God was not well pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. But God, the wilderness was to process them for the promised land. Yes, but many of them showed that they did not deserve the promised land. Are we all there? Read that little part again, brother.
But many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness.
Remember, brothers and sisters, the wilderness was meant by God to be training experience for the Israelites. By training, I mean preparing them for the promised land. I think the word preparing is appropriate. God was getting them ready for the promised land. Did you know that's the purpose the church serves? All of us, those of us who have been Christian for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, those of us who have been Christian just for a few days, the church is where the Almighty God in Christ is getting us ready, fixing us up. Getting rid of the things that we're not supposed to go to heaven with. Are we all there? Wait. You think you're all okay? No, you're not. The Almighty God wants us to be more Christ-like, to be more holy, godly, spiritual. You know where God is getting that done? In the church. Every time you or I miss a worship, we are missing out on something God wants us to know. Wait. In the church, we draw closer and closer to God every day. In the church, we become more Christ-like day by day. It's not just one go. No, it's a process. We are work in progress. Every time you forfeit opportunity that God provides in the church, you are depriving yourself. Wait. You might also be sending a message to God that you do not know you are sending. You might be telling God you are not a fit subject for heaven. Did you hear that? Many of the Israelites in the wilderness were sending that message to the Almighty God, that they are not fit subject for the promised land. Did they know they were sending that message? No. But when the Bible says that they were overthrown in the wilderness because with many of them God was not well pleased, it simply means that all along, Israelite upon Israelite were sending a message to God that they did not know they were sending. In fact, let us hear a passage taken from the book of Deuteronomy. I may call you back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, but let us hear this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8 from verse 1 to verse 3. Let us hear it.
All the commandments which I command thee this day, shall ye observe to do.
Wait. Start again. Deuteronomy chapter 8, the brother is reading from verse 1.
All the commandments which I command thee this day, shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land.
The land there is the promised land. Wait. In the same way the Almighty God gave them a promised land. Of course, we are at the ultimate in God's promise. You see, even what they were given as promised land, all of that point to the everlasting abode of the godly that God promised in Christ. Heaven. You see, the Bible tells us that we are at the end of the ages. There will be no more dispensation. We are at the final point in all of God's doing. Read, brother.
And go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way.
Now. Remember, We are at Deuteronomy. They started the journey in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So this was quite a few years after they started the journey, when the Almighty God had already killed thousands of Israelites in the wilderness. Wait, let me back up. Sorry. The journey took 40 years. Am I there? Yes. It was meant by God to take 40 days. That's right. But the Almighty God, in His wisdom, knew that the Israelites needed processing, preparation. Are we all there? We need processing. We need preparation too. That's why in the church. In the church, a person is sending message to God whether or not you like worship. Somebody didn't hear that. If after these many days or months or weeks or years in the church, you have demonstrated over and over that worship is something you wish you didn't have to think about. You could be doing your own thing, watching your own favorite movie or whatever. You are sending a message to God. Because it's like you are saying to God, God, it made no sense you saved me. Because you see, me no love worship so much. When I go to worship and spend 1 hour, 2 hours, that is enough for me. The Almighty God knows that your inclination and your makeup is on the secular world, the non-spiritual thing. You are sending a message to God. What you should try to do is, through the studying of God's word, build up the appetite for spiritual things. It doesn't come overnight. But with God's help, a lot of time when the doctor tell you or the nutritionist tell you that something is good for your health, sometimes when you taste it, you don't like it. But do you know what? When you remember that it is good for your lungs and the pain in your leg and your heart, over time you develop the appetite for it. Heaven in the church is where the Almighty God is preparing us for heaven. If you don't like worship, if you are always finding fault with worship, why you think that God is fool enough to save you? Because God wants people in heaven who want to be in heaven. But you see, heaven entails a certain kind of life. You learn that kind of life in the church. That's what the church is about. But let us get back to the Israelite. Deuteronomy chapter 8.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee.
To prove thee. Wait. That's important, you know. That's the same thing going on in the church. Huh? Away my searching and pocket for. No, I don't have any money here. I want a bill. Do you know that even in our giving, We are sending message to God.
Amen.
That's right. In the church, nowhere else. That's why those who are being saved are added to the church. Because it is there that the Almighty God is molding and making you and preparing you for eternal life. When God made you and me and every man and every woman, He made us with eternity in mind. We were made to live forever. And death is only a transition from one form of life to another. Why you stop for reading, no?
To know what was in thine heart,
mm-hmm.
whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or not.
Yeah. It's like God is saying, yes, why the life in the church, why the church is playing such an important part? I want to know your life in the church. Tell me if you are a person who love worship, if you are a person who love to adore and honor and reverence God. And these few years I give you in the church, you are telling me whether or not you're a fit subject for heaven. Read on, brother.
And He humbled thee.
He humbled you.
And suffered thee to hunger.
The word suffered there means permit you to?
To hunger.
To hunger.
And fed thee with manna.
He provide supernatural spiritual bread for you.
Which thou knewest not.
Yes.
Neither did thy fathers know.
Uh-huh.
That He might make thee know that man.
Wait. All that God did for you in the wilderness, these things I'm reminding you about, the Almighty God was educating you, helping you to get to know Me more. That you may know that man does not live by bread alone.
But by every word.
That's right. That you Israelite thought is only the food you get each day that preserves your life. No, your life was preserved by Me, the Almighty God. And your life in the wilderness was meant to help teach you that. Oh, Lord have mercy. You know, it's time for me to finish this sermon. You know, one of the what verse you start, brother?
End of verse 3.
End of verse 3. Yes. One of the thing about the wilderness, because after we're going to wrap up now, is the fact that the Almighty God did not lead the children through the shortest route. You know, I find that strange. I thought God was in a hurry to get them there. No. There were many things. Had God led them through the shortest route, they would encounter the Philistine. The Philistine were well experienced in battle and war. The Israelites were not, because they were slaves for hundreds of years. They didn't understand self-defense and war. And the Almighty God knew that any way He led them through that short route and they meet up on the warified Philistine, that would probably so discourage the Israelite that it would be devastating. That's one of the reasons. The Almighty God led them through the longest route. But in God's wisdom, that was best for the Israelite. It also gave God a chance to prove the Israelite. Will I be picking up on this lesson? Let me just see some of the things that I have not yet touched on. Suffice it to say that the lesson today is meant to help us value our time that God has given us in the church. I don't even get to where I speak about the importance of the church. That wilderness was key in importance to the Israelites, in preparing them, in educating them, in training them. That's why the church is called the body of Christ, Christ being the head. Don't ever underestimate, belittle, devalue the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ, and your life in the church. Be that life is 1 month, 10 years, 40 years, 50 years. Use your time in the church wisely to get to know God, know God's will, and understand what life in the church is all about. It is preparing us for eternity. Don't be sending message to God in the church that you don't want to send. My disposition towards worship, towards fellowshipping, towards participation in the work of the church, all those, as I engage in them, are not engaging them, I'm sending message to the Almighty God in respect to what I am qualified for. Are you here today? You're not a child of God. You're not a Christian. Christ wants to save you, because we are all going to live forever, but not in the same condition. Put another way, not at the same place. The Almighty God wants you to have peace in your eternity. Let Him give you it now. It comes through obedience to the gospel. And once you obey the gospel through faith, repentance, and baptism, the Bible tells us that Christ adds you to His church. And it is there in the church that Christ is going to make you into the person you are to be. Did I tell you in the lesson this morning that the church can be likened to an hospital? No, I didn't reach that point yet. But you have heard enough to save you, and you have heard enough to condemn you. But Christ right now is in the saving business. If you are here, you are not a child of God, you are not a Christian, in love, in